Right. The heading above the verse 40 in the version that I have here says, "A girl restored to life and a woman healed." And so there is the actual situation. The Lord Jesus Christ is at Capernaum. And he's been approached by this man Jairus. And Jairus is a very important man. He's the ruler of the synagogue. And his daughter is dying. And he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tells us, doesn't he, fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. And we're told also that this daughter, 12 years old, or about 12 years old, was dying, and it was his only daughter. And the Lord Jesus Christ immediately sets off with this man Jairus to go to his house and to minister to this young girl. But then, on the way, there is Jesus has another encounter in verse 43. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. There was this sad, sad, unfortunate woman who'd had this history of a flow of blood or a bleeding condition for 12 years. Now, 12 years is a long time. We're in 2018. If that was happening here and now, this would have begun back in 2006. And so it gives you some idea of this woman's desperate condition. This woman was utterly helpless. Now remember that Luke, who wrote this account, was a doctor. And of course, he would have understood and known the current medical practices of the time in which this event occurred, in which Luke lived and wrote. And he would have known that this woman was humanly incurable. And of course, this condition affected her whole life. For a start, it meant a loss of health. She had suffered for 12 years. It also would have meant a loss of wealth. It tells us this, doesn't it? She'd spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. She would have gone to any doctor, real or bogus, to try to get this cure. And she'd spent all her resources on it and was no better for it. But not only that, this condition also meant it a loss of her standing in society. And we read back in the book of Leviticus in chapter 15 and verse 19. If a woman has a discharge and the discharge from her body is blood, she shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. And verse 20, everything that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean. Also everything that she sits on shall be unclean. And further on in verse 25, read, if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than at the time of her customary impurity, or it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, or the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. This woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She would have been unclean in that situation, in that society, for all that time. So, not only in a sense that she lost her standing in society, she would have been treated as a virtual leper, an outcast. ceremonially unclean. She would not be allowed to mix normally. Now, just think for a moment, consider the effect of that type of life would have. Not being able to be part almost of anything of the society of her day. And nobody, it would seem, nobody could heal her. And isn't she a picture of so many people today? So many people today that one meets here and there and with it would seem such insurmountable problems. How can this problem be solved? How can that problem be overcome? And people drew to all sorts of things, don't they, to try to get the miracle cure. You know, they try different religions. Some tell me, I've even tried Christianity, but it didn't work. The problem is, they tried religion, Christian religion, but the tragedy is, they didn't meet the Lord Jesus Christ. But many people will go to a psychologist or a counsellor. There are so many different offers today in counselling. So many different varieties. So many people who have the answer. They may go for faith healing. They may go for transcendental meditation. They may try yoga. Maybe even contact the dead. And so it goes on. People will try almost everything that they possibly can to try to sort out their life's problems. And of course, none of it works. And peace, true peace, is far away as ever. And the question is, why is this? And of course, the answer is, of course, every one of us suffer from an incurable disease, which is, of course, sin. And in this situation, with this poor woman, we've got to remember this, that her disease, had cut her off from her religion. But it didn't cut her off from the Lord Jesus Christ. And sin is a barrier. It's a massive barrier. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, it can be removed. And this woman, what she has obviously perhaps heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. She may have seen his miracles, perhaps. She may have listened to his teaching. She may have heard rumours, who knows. But she decides to take action. And it tells us there in verse 44 that she came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Touching. How many times does that happen a day? Just in your imagination, come with me on a journey tomorrow morning. We'll get up to Uckfield, and we'll get the train in it. I don't know, whatever. The first train after 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, I don't know what it's like. I imagine it's quite a few people get on the train, and we end up somewhere in London. Is it London Bridge or Charing Cross or somewhere? And then we're going to go off the train, and we're going to go down into the tubes, and we're going to get a tube in the rush hour to somewhere. Let's say we're going to go and visit Buckingham Palace, so we're going to get out at Green Park. And then we get there, and it's a changing of the guard, and there's hundreds of Koreans and Japanese and all any other tourists there, all with their cameras, all trying to get close. And we're there, and I won't go on for the rest of the day. How many times do you think we would have been touched or jostled? Particularly getting in and out of the train. Getting in and out of the tube. While you're on the tube. And then all the business of trying to get a good picture of the sentry on duty there or whatever he is doing. It would happen, doesn't it? It happens all the time. And we just don't notice it. Unless someone really gives us a shove or a something really hefty. But in the course of the day, we just don't notice these things. They just pass by. And this lady, she comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. She comes up behind. He knows she's there, of course. But perhaps she thinks he doesn't. Anyway, he can't physically see her. She comes up, perhaps she's full of shame. But you see, there's no need to approach Christ like that. We don't need to come to Christ, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to use the back door. There's no tradesman's entrance when it comes to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come via the front door. We come directly. And we confess our sins directly. And I'm sure this lady had heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. She'd heard of his reputation. She'd heard perhaps of his miraculous cures and the healings that had taken place. And what does she do? She touches the border, or if you like, the edge or the hem of the cloak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe she's thinking that there's something in his clothing. Maybe she's a little bit superstitious, who knows. But one thing I want you to think of here is there's no actual physical contact. She doesn't touch the Lord Jesus Christ. She just touches the edge of his garment. Just the very edge. And I would suggest that we could have the edge of our coats touched by someone and we wouldn't even know. It's only when somebody touches us bodily often that we would take notice. Notice there, she touched. There was no grabbing. She didn't strike out. She just touched the edge of the Lord's garment. Why do you think she did that? Why just touch it? Did she think the Lord would not notice? But the moment that she touched the edge of the Lord's garment, as it says there, her flow of blood stopped. Her bleeding stopped immediately. And her very, very imperfect faith was met with a perfect cure. There was no doubt about her cure. There was no such thing as spontaneous remission or any of that stuff. 1 second she was bleeding, a condition she'd had for 12 years. The next moment, and you probably could even measure the moment, less than a second, she's not. It's as quick and as sudden as that. And it's true today when a person comes in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are saved at that moment. They genuinely repent and look in faith to all that Jesus did on that cross at Calvary. There is no long, drawn out thing. The Lord doesn't keep people hanging on. When he sees genuine faith, the Lord responds to it. Jesus Christ, it tells us, doesn't it? It's the same yesterday and today and forever. And if it is the Lord Jesus Christ that heals, this woman's healing was complete and full and forever. I know she died. She must have died of something, but she certainly, I wouldn't have thought, died of the problem she had before she met the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ saves, it's complete. It's not spurious. It's not questionable. It is absolutely absolute. I want to read to you, if I may, from a very old advert. And it says this: Clark's world famous blood mixture is warranted to cleanse the blood from all impurities, from whatever cause arising, for scrofula, scurvy, eczema, bad legs, skin and blood diseases, pimples and sores, etc. But at the end of the advert it says this: beware of worthless imitations. There was an immediate change when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this woman's life. And when a person is genuinely converted, when they are a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the marks of conversion should be immediately. Oh, they won't know all the detail, they won't know all the doctrine, but so much will change. Basically, even the way that they're probably, the way that the expression on their faces will change. They begin to clean up their lives. Suddenly, the awful language they used is never used again, and so on. But a person is saved. Do you remember what Jesus said? By your fruits you shall know them. There comes that desire, doesn't there, to see other people come to the same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we move on. In verse 45 we read this: and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. The Lord Jesus Christ stops and asks this question. I mean, he knows the answer, but he's asking the question, who touched him? Now, the woman doesn't immediately answer. And you note the reaction of the disciples. They're impatient. Imagine what Jairus must have felt as well. They're wanting to get to his house, to his daughter. And, he said, when all denied it, Peter and those said, Master, the multitude throng. They throng and they press you. And yet you ask, who touched me? It's understandable, that reaction. The crowds are milling all around. I imagine they're all eager to see how the Lord's going to do at the house of Jairus. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not talking, and he's not asking primarily about a literal touch. What he's talking about is a touch of faith, a touch of purpose. This woman had believed in her heart that the Lord Jesus Christ could do something for her. But she hasn't yet confessed with her mouth. And she needed to be told, and she needed to know, that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that had healed her, and not his robe, or it wasn't a coincidence. There is a saying: while thousands throng, few touch him. While thousands throng, few touch him. And that's so true, isn't it, with the gospel. Many people will listen to the gospel. I remember back in the early 80s being involved with the open air ministries with Mission to London. Firstly at Clapham Common and then at the football ground at Queen's Park Rangers. Louis Palau was preaching, and he was preaching the gospel then. And there were lots and lots of people at all the meetings. Lots and lots of people did make some response. Sadly, many of them were spurious. Some were saved. But thousands heard the gospel. Thousands had the chance to touch the Lord Jesus Christ in the real salvation way. But sadly, most didn't. There's a need, isn't there, here for this woman. She has to publicly confess the Lord Jesus Christ. She has to publicly confess what he has done for her. And now she is compelled to face the Lord Jesus. She had approached him from behind. She tried to get away and was unable to, because she has to bend the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. As it tells us in Philippians chapter 2, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And Paul, when he writes to the church at Rome, in Romans 14 verse 12, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And this lady declares her testimony at verse 47. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. She declares her testimony. Very simple testimony, isn't it? She was ill. She touched the edge of the Lord Jesus' robe and she was cured. Takes about, 10 seconds to say if you spin it out. But that's her testimony. No bright lights. No visions. No dramatic happenings, except her cure, of course. We need to be those, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be those who are unafraid and desire to share our testimonies as believers. Not just when, hey, we were saved, gloriously that it is. But what has the Lord done for me and is doing for me today? Because the testimony is up to date, isn't it? Those of us who are believers here, look back to that day or that time when the Lord saved us. For me, I was saved out of the world. For many others, saved out of a Christian family. But however it is the same gospel. It is the same need of repentance. It is the same need of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a personal faith. It's not something that we catch or inherit. And that's the wonder of the joy, isn't it, of being a Christian. We can say that Jesus is my Lord. He is my Saviour. He has redeemed me. He died on that cross and shed his precious blood for my sins. That's why we talk about it being particular. Jesus died particularly for me. And is that your testimony this morning? Could you go out and tell the village of Halland, I'm a Christian because Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Let me tell you what he's done for me since he saved me. How he's changed my life. How he's done so much for me. And what I've got yet to look forward to. We need to be, surely, all of us, so much, much more bolder in our witness to an unbelieving world. I'm sure you would agree with me, if with nothing else, that our country is an absolute total mess at the moment. Morally, spiritually, every area. Things go wrong, there's problems here, problems there. And what people do, throw money at it. Try a new minister. Try this, try that. What our country needs is the gospel. What we need to pray for is that God will once again, though we don't deserve it, have mercy on our land. And come down in power, an awakening and a revival. A revival in the church and awakening outside. Because that is what's going to change our country. You imagine what would happen if the cabinet suddenly all got truly converted. Not churchgoers, truly converted. What a change there'd be in government. And you work that way down. You work that through down. And the effect. But worry about them. What about the ordinary people that we meet and rub shoulders with? One gets saved. That person gets a burden for his family. For his neighbours. For his friends. And it goes on, doesn't it? Like that. We need to be those who have a desire. But such a almost a constraining thing to share what the Lord has done for us. And the Lord says to her, doesn't he, there, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Or daughter, be of good comfort. What had made this woman well? Not her touch. Not the robe. No magic. It was her faith. Daughter, your faith has made you well. It was her faith that was the cause of a cure. It was the channel through which that cure came. You see, Jesus responds personally to personal faith. He knew who she was before this event happened. He wasn't taken by surprise. But she had to acknowledge. And then he gave her those wonderful words. Can you imagine what that woman's life was like the rest of her life? Having had that encounter with the Lord Jesus. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She is she's now completely reinstated into society. She can go into any home, any place she wants. She's been cured of her disease. She's at one with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And she has a witness and a testimony to whosoever. And so have we. Peace with God. What greater blessing can there be? We all go through trials, don't we? We all go through tribulations. We all go through illnesses. We all go through grief. We all go through pain. We all go through disappointments and 101 other things. It's part of life. And ultimately, of course, we have the challenge of death. But if we are at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we face them in a completely different way from people that don't. Because we know where we're going, don't we? We know we have a home in glory waiting for us when the Lord calls us. It's a question I think we need to ask each and every one of ourselves here. You know, do we have that peace with God? Jesus said, didn't he, that you may know. When I used to do the doors in London, I used to meet a lot of people on the door who said they were Christians. And I'd say, you know, it's good to know Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, yeah. It's good to know Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah, yeah. Good to know we're going to heaven, isn't it? Well, I'm not so sure about that. And you think, you can be sure. Because Jesus promises, I go ahead to prepare a place for you. And where he goes, we follow. In my Father's house are many mansions. Not rooms. Not big houses. I live in a bungalow. I'm going to have a mansion in glory. Assurance. It's a wonderful, wonderful doctrine that's given to the Christian man and the Christian woman. And that can carry us through so much. So do we have that peace with God? Do we have that assurance that we're forgiven? That Jesus has actually washed us clean of our sins with his precious blood? That they're gone as far as the east is from the west. And do we know the love of God in our lives? And is that love of God expressed in the way that we live? The way that we act, the way that we speak, the way that we witness? Well, may God help us. May the Lord help us in this day and age to live out the gospel to those that the Lord brings across to us, and for those that are not sure, who are not saved, that the Lord would grant you that repentance and faith that you so desperately need to know that peace of God which lasts forever and ever. Let's just pray together for a moment, shall we? Our dear gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful episode that we've looked at this morning. We thank you, Lord, that that woman who had such an imperfect faith was met by such a perfect cure, because that cure came from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come before you with imperfect faith, but we believe, Lord, in a perfect Lord Jesus Christ, whose sacrifice was once and for all there on the cross at Calvary for the sins of his people. For those of us here this morning, Lord, that know and love you and serve you, we ask, Lord, that you would once again confirm these truths in our hearts and our minds, and help us to be good witnesses for Christ in these coming days. For those, Lord, who are not sure, would you speak to their very hearts and their very souls? And for those who are unsaved, Lord, please, in your goodness and mercy, grant repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his most precious and in his most wonderful name. Amen.